Welcome to the Garmia Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We're so glad you're listening to the pod and trust that this message encourages your heart and faith today. At GBC, we're all about partnering with God in the renewal and restoration of all things, and it's our hope that through these sermons, you'll discover the life-changing power of Jesus. If you'd like to join us in person or online or find out more, check out our website at garmiabaptist.org.au.
Good morning, everyone. Great to see you all here this morning in December, which I'm extremely excited about. I am a massive fan of Christmas, and my youth ministry teams will definitely tell you that because I have been playing Christmas music for like the last 2 weeks at Youth Edge and Youth. So I can officially play it without fear of judgment, which I'm stoked about. And I'm incredibly excited also about our Christmas festival. I think it's going to be an awesome opportunity for our community to come and connect. So yes, please jump on board. I think it'd be a great opportunity. And I'm also excited about the series that we're partaking in for this December, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. So let us begin this morning with a Bible reading. Unfortunately, our Bible reader for this morning, Jerry Lee, has caught COVID, so you're stuck with me for that too. So let us open our Bibles, if you've got them this morning, to Haggai chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 6 and 7 this morning. And this is what it says. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the seas and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. So to start us off this morning, I need us to understand a particular feeling we have when it comes to unmet expectations. So I want you to imagine that you were a kid on Christmas Day, and you're incredibly excited to come down and obviously to open your presents. But there's one in particular that you're looking forward to the most. There's a particular toy that you've been thinking about for months, that you've been wishing for and hoping for, nagging your parents to get it for you. And it's come to Christmas and you think, today's the day. I'm going to get my toy that I want. So you begin opening your presents, ripping through them at an alarming speed to get to the last one, and you think to yourself, this one's it. You give the box a bit of a shake and you think, yeah, this is it. So you rip it open in excitement, and unfortunately it's not the one. It's similar, it's close, but it's not the one. And the feeling in that moment that you get, that little feeling of disappointment, that little feeling of being upset, That's the feeling I want us to capture. Because it's not completely disappointment. The toy's still pretty good. But it's not quite that level that you wanted. It wasn't what you were expecting. And I'm sure we've all felt this way at some point in our lives, whether it's little things like toys or bigger things. Right? I'm hoping you all resonate with this feeling, because I certainly do. Right? Of that, so close but not quite. And this is actually a feeling that we share with the people here in Haggai chapter 2. So as we look at our passage, let me give you some context around what is happening in the story here in Haggai. The story takes place 70 years after the Babylonian exile. The Babylonian Empire has actually recently collapsed, and the land is now ruled by the Persians. And under the Persian Empire, the people of Israel have been allowed to return to Jerusalem. So a small group of them have done so and have returned to begin rebuilding the city and their lives. And they do this under the rule of the high priest Joshua and Zerubbabel. And the hopes for the future are high. There's an element of expectation that they know is going to turn out well. So as they arrive to rebuild their lives, they begin doing so by rebuilding their own homes in the efforts to rebuild the city. But Haggai, seeing this, is a bit alarmed. You see, Haggai sees this as misplaced priorities. The people are spending their time and their resources building their own fancy houses whilst the temple still lies in ruins. And for Haggai, this neglect, he draws equivalent to the covenant rebellion of their ancestors. And as we all know, that rebellion from the covenant is why the people ended up in exile in the first place. So this repetition of foolishness from the people in Jerusalem and their ancestors is why they have been left with unproductive land and a land struck with famine. So Haggai presents this to the people, and they are provoked to begin rebuilding the temple, a project that they get onto right away. And we can see this message that Haggai presents to them in Haggai 1. If you would like to read it, you can. But we're not going to look at that this morning. We're going to look back down to Haggai 2. And in Haggai 2 has come 1 month after they've begun rebuilding the temple. And the rebuild is going well, but a new problem has arisen, a problem of shattered expectations amongst the people. And these shattered expectations come from the fact that the rebuilt temple is unimpressive compared to the glory of the temple that Solomon had built some 500 years earlier. And the reason that this was an issue for the people is because of the significance of the temple to the people. The temple was more than a central place of worship and a place of identity for them, but it was actually the dwelling place of God. It was the place that God lived. And the outward appearance of the temple reflected the God that it was for. So to build a massive, impressive temple with glorious gold and silver would reflect really well on the God that it was built for. It showed that God was powerful, impressive, glorious, as the temple was. So for the people to build an unimpressive temple for God, they were concerned, right? They were disappointed because the temple was not living up to their expectations as they were hoping for. So for this reason, the morale was low. All right? They were disappointed because of their expectations. So if we parallel that back to ourselves, all right? And this feeling that we get around our unmet expectations and the disappointment that we face, all right? This doesn't just apply to earthly and worldly things. And I think we know that. We know that in our faith and our spiritual lives, and also in our ministries, we can sometimes get these feelings of low morale and disappointment when our expectations are not met. In our faith, there can be times where our spiritual practices are just not meeting our expectations for fulfillment. We might read our Bibles expecting to receive great knowledge from God, to receive revelation from Him. But when we do so, we don't necessarily feel like we receive anything. And it feels in that moment like we're just reading the Bible because it's a habit, that you're just going through the motions, because that's what we do, right? Or it might be in our prayer life. You might be going through an ordinary time in your life, and sometimes that's good, but for prayer life, it can be a little difficult. You might not have anything necessarily bad or good to pray about or praise God for, but we pray anyway because we are called to pray. But it's not meeting your expectations. You may not feel as though you're hearing from God in that moment. It just feels ordinary. And this can be the case in our ministries as well. When we are involved in ministries that can sometimes feel like they're just things that need to get done. I don't feel like they're achieving the overall goal of the church or achieving really much at all. But yet, they're still things that need to get done. Again, they don't meet our expectations to what we think ministry should be. But I think we can actually take away a lot from the message that Haggai brings to the people here in Haggai 2. And the message that Haggai brings is a message of encouragement to be faithful. Haggai reminds them of the prophetic promises of the future kingdom of God and of the temple, which we see here in our Bible reading for this morning. He reminds them that the New Jerusalem is going to be a place in which God will redeem the world, and through them, all nations will participate in God's kingdom, resulting in peace for all. And he reminds them that the temple is to play a key role in this plan of God's for the future. So Haggai calls upon the people to continue the work that they are doing, to continue building the temple despite the disappointing circumstances that they find themselves in. All right, despite their feelings of disappointment. All right, because that is the people's responsibility. Their responsibility is to be faithful. It's actually God's responsibility to bring glory. And God is going to bring glory, which is what Haggai reminds them is the prophetic promises. In our Bible reading at the end of chapter 7, it says, "I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty." And if you read further down in chapter 9, it says, "The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty." Right? It is not the people's responsibility to make the temple glorious and to bring glory and honor to the temple. It is God's responsibility, and he is going to bring glory to the temple. It's God's job to do that. The people are just called to faithfulness. So again, as we parallel that to ourselves, right, we too are called to be faithful. We are called to faithfulness in our faith and in our ministries. Right? Because God has already brought about glory, of course, through Jesus. And we know this. And God will continue to bring glory to our lives and to our ministries in and through us. Or it is not on our own merit that we are great. We are made great by God. We're just called to faithfulness. We're just called to be faithful in our Bible reading time, in our prayer life, in our serving, and in our love for one another. We are called to be faithful. And we are to leave the bringing of glory and greatness to God, which he will do. And I think this is particularly important in the areas of our ministry. As I was looking at this passage and reflecting on it, I realized that there's been a few things over the past few years that haven't necessarily lived up to our expectations. I think of the Royal Commission and the consequences and the downfall of some well-known public Christian figures that have happened in recent years. I don't think that's necessarily lived up to our expectations of the church. And then there's COVID and the decrease in connection we've seen, even post-COVID, where people have failed to just not come back to the church and have not connected in again with us after that time. That hasn't lived up to our expectation. But this morning, I wanted to leave you with some hope. Some hope that I've witnessed for the glory that God is to bring to this church and to many others. I get the wonderful privilege to work in the next generation space, to be able to witness our youth and our children. Right? And I can say that they have a new sense of openness to them. They are so open to receiving both the Word of God and the love that he presents for us. There's a longing for that There's a longing for the love that God is able to bring. And we are starting to see the first seeds of glory. And there will be much more glory to come. There is so much more glory that God is to bring us. But he will do that on his own merit. He might do it through us and in us, but his name will be glorified as long as we are faithful. So let me encourage you this morning that if you are feeling this way, if you're feeling a slight bit of disappointment, just continue to be faithful. Continue to be faithful to God, and he will bring glory in and through you. I'd like to welcome the worship band back up onto the platform as we finish up. So why don't we pray together? Father God, we just thank you so much for the glory that you have brought through Jesus. Father, I just pray that you would help us to be faithful so that that glory, your glory, can shine through us. Father, we have a wonderful opportunity that is Christmas to be able to display your love and your glory to the world. And Father, I just pray that as we go through this season, that you would help us to do that. Father, that you would display to us the openness that our community has, the openness of our next generation to be able to receive your word and your love. Let us be a foster of your love. And Father, if there's anyone here this morning that is feeling those little bits of disappointment from unmet expectations, Father, I would just pray that you would fill them with love and fill them with the everlasting glory that you offer. Lord, we just seek to be faithful in everything that we do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this sermon podcast. We hope you found inspiration and encouragement, and God used this message to speak to you. If you want to connect more with GBC, you can follow us on social media or contact us via our website. You can also get to know some of the people from our church community through the We Are the Church podcast. Real stories of real people sharing how Jesus has shaped and transformed their life. We pray you experience the transforming power of Jesus in your life and pray that God blesses you today.